the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
You be concerned, I will be there at each and every turn. Like a sparrow, I'll meet your every need.
is such a great way to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Greetings, Martha.
Oh, you startled me, Simon. I didn't see you coming.
I'm sorry.
No harm done.
I'm rather surprised to see you here among the flowers. Usually you're at work in the house, cleaning, dusting, and cooking. It's Mary whom I'd expect to find out here.
I'll go get her.
No. It's really you I wish to talk to.
Yes?
It's about Jesus. He's on his way to the feast at Jerusalem. As usual, he will stop here for a rest. I wish to give a feast in his honor for healing me of leprosy.
You need my help?
Would you? Oh, I do need you. You're so clever about such things. Oh. If you'd take charge of the feast and arrange everything, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I suppose I could.
And maybe you could get Lazarus to come as my guest. It would be quite an honor for me to be able to have as guest one whom Jesus has raised from the dead. My feast will be the talk of the countryside.
So it's Lazarus as guest that you really want.
Oh, Martha, you can come as guest, too. After you're through in the kitchen, of course.
What about Mary?
Well, I don't know. After all, her reputation is not all it should be, you know. No, I'd rather just Lazarus and you.
Well, Simon, I don't believe your reputation is exactly Lily White. Some seem to
But that's
think
why
that
I'm giving this feast and why I want everything to be perfect. All the best people will be sure to come if Lazarus is here, and then they'll have to invite me to their homes. I'll be respected again.
Simon, you know what a close-knit family we are. I don't believe Lazarus or I would want to come without Mary.
Oh, very well. Have her come, too. Well, will you help me, Martha, please?
Well, I can't speak with certainty for Mary and Lazarus, but because they love Jesus so much, I feel sure they'll come just to be near him.
Oh, thank you, Martha. I'll go and speak to Mary and Lazarus right now.
This is one of the best we have.
I want the very best. Second best won't do.
Well, this one then, but it's very expensive.
I'll take it, please.
Oh, I didn't know you were that rich, Mary.
I'm not. I sold some things that were very dear to me, just so I could buy this.
Ah, for the dead.
Yes, but he isn't dead yet.
What?
He says he's going to die, be crucified. I love him very much. He has forgiven me of my sins, so many sins. And he treats me as if I were as good as anyone else.
Well, he must love you, too.
Oh, he loves everybody, everybody.
Oh, yes, yes, I'm sure he does.
Welcome home, Jesus, my Lord. Come in and rest.
Thank you. I always find peace and rest here, Lazarus. Thy sisters?
Martha's over at Simon's, helping prepare a feast in thy honor. Mary, no telling where she is. In the garden, by the fountain. She could be anywhere. She loves things of nature.
I wish you would tell me something, Lazarus. It is very important. In fact, it will answer a question no one as yet has been able to answer. You were dead about 4 days.
Right.
During that time, what did you feel, see, think, experience?
I slept. I woke when I heard Jesus call me. When I walked out of the cave, I saw Jesus and a host of relatives and friends. My heart is filled with gratitude to Jesus.
Surely you have more than that to...
Lazarus?
Oh, excuse me, Simon calls. Yes, Simon?
Jesus raised you from the dead, and he healed me of leprosy. So you will sit at the feast on the right hand of Jesus. I shall sit on his left. The disciples shall sit next, and the rest will have other places assigned.
So the feast in honor of Jesus begins. Martha serves the table, while Mary, her sister, listens eagerly to every word from the lips of Jesus. In his mercy, Jesus had pardoned her sins. He had called forth her beloved brother from the grave, and Mary's heart is filled with gratitude. It is with joy that she now hears many at the table declaring that Jesus is about to be crowned king.
That box of ointment, despite not. He isn't going to die. He is going to be king. I shall be the first to anoint him. I'll open the box and anoint his head and feet.
Yeah, I smell something very fragrant, very expensive. Oh, it's Mary. She's anointing the head and feet of Jesus. Oh, what a waste of money.
Did you say something, Judas?
Oh, look at Mary pouring that expensive perfume on the master's head and feet. It's a waste of money, and we badly need money to help the poor.
You should know, Judas. You're a man of great influence and learning. Your concern for the poor is heartwarming. Why don't you speak up? Tell all the disciples what's going on.
Yes. Yes, I will. My fellow disciples, the costly ointment Mary uses, why wasn't it sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?
Let her alone. To anoint my dead body has she kept this. But instead she uses it now while I can smell the sweet savor of the ointment and of her love. The poor ye always have with you, but me ye have not always.
John, you are the closest of the disciples. I wonder if Jesus knows what manner of woman Mary is. If he were a prophet, as he claims, he would know that she is such a great sinner that merely the touch of her hand defileth.
Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee.
Say on, Master.
There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, the creditor frankly forgave both of them. Tell me, Simon, which in your opinion will love the creditor the most?
Well, I suppose that he to whom the most was forgiven.
Thou hast rightly judged. Simon, I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But this woman hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. I say unto thee, Simon, this woman's sins, which are many, are forgiven. And for this she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Mary, thy sins are forgiven.
I thought to honor Jesus by inviting him to a feast. But I see now that real honor to the Master lies in loving and obeying him, doing unto others as I would have them do to me. Thank you, Lord, for showing me truth.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Yeah. Live with Sam. I'm Sam here on the school playground to learn more about health. Let's talk with Jason, the captain of the soccer team. Jason, what's the secret of your amazing success?
I never kicked the ball.
How do you keep from kicking the ball?
By letting other people do it.
But how do you explain the fact that your team wins so many games?
Everybody else is really good at kicking the ball. All I have to do is say, hey, go over there and kick the ball. And they do. Works great.
So you run around the field.
Right.
Shout at your teammates.
Right.
Never kick the ball.
Right.
And win the game?
Weird, huh?
Let's talk about you. You seem to be in such great shape.
Running and shouting takes a lot of energy. You can burn a lot of calories doing that. I'm sure kicking the ball takes a lot of energy too, but I wouldn't know.
So what I hear you saying is that to be in good shape, you need to do a lot of moving, running, shouting, stuff like that?
When we score a goal, I jump up and down. That's good for me. And when we win a game, we all bump into each other and slap our hands together. There's 100 calories right there.
Do you have any interest in any other sports?
Baseball. I love baseball. Just one problem.
Let me guess. You can't hit the ball.
I'm planning on being the world's first professional pinch runner.
This is Sam with Live with Sam. Goodbye.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the door. But where are the people? Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the door and see all the people.
Red Rose Mystery. As usual, Paul was the last one to come to the breakfast table, but that didn't keep him from finishing eating first. As he gathered his books from the hall, he heard Mother say, "Poor dear, she will have to stay inside all week." "That's too bad," Dad replied. "Maybe you'd better look in on her today and see if you can help with anything." "I will, dear," Mother promised. Paul came back through the kitchen on his way out. "What's wrong, Mom?" he asked. "It's Mrs. Parker next door. She fell yesterday and sprained her ankle. The doctor taped it up and told her not to walk on it for a few days." "That's too bad," Paul declared, using his dad's words. Their neighbor lived alone, and he knew it would be difficult for her. He started for the door. "I know she's going to miss her flowers most of all. She works in her garden every day," his sister Linda began. "Hey, Paul, wait for me," she called as he opened the back door. Paul was in a hurry. He was supposed to meet the fellows at the corner, and he was already late. He ran across the street and cut across Mrs. Parker's yard. He tripped on something and almost fell. It was the morning paper. "Why didn't that paper boy throw it up on her porch?" he murmured as he regained his balance. He shrugged. The paper boy probably didn't know that Mrs. Parker had sprained her ankle. Paul picked up the paper and hurried up the walk to lay it on the porch. Halfway across the yard, he stopped. Why, Mrs. Parker's place was one whole flower garden. He had never paid much attention to the flowers before. He walked over to a rose bush. There was one big bud opening. The red was so deep that it was almost black. There were drops of dew still clinging to the flower. Paul tapped the long stem, and the dewdrop slid down and hid inside the bud. Paul was amazed at how smoothly one petal lapped over another. Suddenly, he leaned forward and poked his nose down on the rose. He took a deep breath. It was the most pleasant smell he had ever smelled. But just as quickly, he whirled around and shot a glance over his shoulder. What if the fellow saw him smelling flowers? Flowers were for girls. He didn't care about the others, but he could just hear Larry calling him a sissy. Paul was just as big and strong and tough as Larry, but he knew his friend wouldn't dare be caught messing around flowers. Shifting his books to the other arm, he left the yard. At the sidewalk, he hesitated and looked back toward the house. Remembering, Paul said, "She sure was nice to me when I was sick, baking that lemon pie on my birthday and coming to see me every day." He looked down the street. No one was in sight. Dropping his books, he ran back to the bush. Quickly, he broke a rose with the longest stem. Rolling the newspaper into a long tube, he stuck the stem inside and tiptoed up on the porch. He wedged the paper on the handle of the front door and in one long leap jumped off the porch and ran to the corner. When the others came, he was just standing there whistling as though nothing had happened. That night, Mother said, "You'll never guess what happened. Someone put Mrs. Parker's paper right up by the front door this morning so that she wouldn't have to hobble outside to get it." "Hmm," said Mr. Wilson, slicing the roast. "That was nice. Wonder who it was." "She doesn't know, but whoever it was knew how much she likes flowers, for there was a beautiful red rose inside." Paul swallowed and started to speak, but Linda said, "We've got a mystery right here on our street. I think it's so exciting." Then Paul decided not to say anything. He ducked his head to hide the smile on his face. It was going to be fun for him to have his own little secret. Besides, if his sister knew, she would probably blab it around, and then the fellows would know for sure. For the next 2 mornings, he slipped off to school before Linda was ready. Each morning, he cut the prettiest rose he could find and left it with the paper. The boy was enjoying his secret, but he had to admit the part he enjoyed most was doing something nice for Mrs. Parker. That is, as long as the gang didn't find out. Each time, he was afraid he would be late, and they would see him right in the middle of the rose garden. Everything was fine until Thursday. Then, just as he reached for the rose, a voice said, "Paul! Paul Wilson! So it's you!" The startled boy dropped the rose. He jumped as though he had been caught playing with his dad's tools again. "Oh, why did you have to come along?" he asked sharply as he saw Linda. "Don't you dare tell anyone." "But why did you have to keep it a secret?" Linda asked. "I think it is the sweetest thing I ever heard." "Yeah, sweet. That's just what the fellows would say." "Why, Paul Wilson, are you ashamed of what you're doing?" demanded Linda. "No, of course not. It's just that everyone thinks I'm plenty strong, and if..." "So that's it," interrupted his sister. "You're doing something nice for someone, but yet you are afraid of what someone else will think." "Sis, you don't understand." But Linda was gone. She had turned and hurried back to their house. Paul felt terrible. He could tell that his sister was disappointed in him. The forgotten rose lay on the ground. He picked it up. Very carefully, he brushed the dirt off the petals. In all the confusion with Linda, more time had passed than he realized. The sound of voices startled him. The boys were halfway down the block coming to meet him. His first thought was to run. It had taken a long time for them to invite him into the crowd. Now, if they saw him taking Mrs. Parker a rose, they might not want him anymore. And even if they did, he knew for sure they would never stop teasing him. He had to decide what to do, and fast, for they would see him any minute. He glanced at Mrs. Parker's front door. "Oh, she'll never miss it today," he told himself and took a step away. As he brushed against the rose bush, he stopped. "If I could just hide behind the bush, maybe they wouldn't see me, and then when they go by, I could..." Linda came out the front door of their house and interrupted his thoughts. "Sis is right," he said aloud. "I am more concerned about what people will think than I am about doing the right thing." From that minute on, Paul knew what he was going to do. Sticking two fingers in his mouth, he gave a loud, shrill whistle. From the corner of his eye, he could see the boys stop and stare, but he didn't care. Instead, he yelled across the street, "Hey, Linda, wait till I take this rose to Mrs. Parker, and I will walk to school with you." Linda stopped still in her tracks, for she had already seen the boys. She smiled happily and waved. "Okay," she called back. The boys started laughing and pointing at Paul, but Paul didn't pay any attention. Instead, he just ran up the steps and delivered a red rose and the morning paper.
The story you've heard today was first published as part of the Vacation Bible School program in the book God's World by the Review and Herald Publishing Association and the General Conference Sabbath School Department. If you are interested in any other products published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.